Hey, I'm Mo.
And I'm J.O.
And you're listening to Mojo and the Outsiders podcast presented by Backwoods Adventure Mods. Today we're talking with Chris Chandler, the man behind the curtain. We're going over big plans, the future of Backwoods, and trucks he loves to drive. So today we're sitting here with Chris Chandler. He's going to kind of tell us what makes everything happen here and how he kind of got his start in with Chandler and stuff like that and why he ended up going with Backwoods. So, Chris, why don't you tell us a little bit of the history of Chandler Equipment?
Yeah, so this is a family company. This is our 46th year in business. Excited that I'm the third generation in it. Never thought as a kid I would be a part of this company. That's kind of the funny story about this is I'm like, hey, I'm never going to be involved. I want to do other things. And originally wanted to be a doctor, moved on to wanting to move into law, thought I'd be an attorney, moved in, tried to figure out my life path at that point. But law was something I was interested in. So I ended up graduating high school, moving on to the University of Arkansas, and got into legal studies. So criminal justice and legal studies are my degrees. However, I don't use those now. That's just kind of funny. Worked for a couple, did a couple internships for attorneys and figured out that was not my life path. And figured out that this company was what I wanted to do, wanted to be involved with. So I grew up working in this company. So my grandfather and grandmother started this company in Batesville, Arkansas, and moved up here in 1981. And after that, they were agri equipment dealers is basically what the company started as. So Chandler Equipment Inc. was agri based only. And that's a long, long time ago. Moved up to Northwest Arkansas, where you know Tyson Foods, George's Inc., etc., were a booming growth side of the poultry business. So we were supplying equipment and kind of my grandfather was a sales guy, so he was out selling chicken farmers equipment and trying to build a business off of that. And my dad also was involved, and he was, so my grandfather was a sales guy, my dad was more of the engineer, making things work in the shop and trying to figure out how do we keep customers happy, how do we supply the market, etc. And so over time, that business model worked, and we end up having more opportunities to grow into new things. As a kid, I got to push a broom, work in a shop, make parts. Yeah. That was kind of my summers, and I was huge into sports, so I was either at practice or I was in working here at the company, even as a little guy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to see like where we came from. I mean, I think we had 15 people when I was coming around. Now crazy. We have over 100. It's kind of nuts to see where it's gone.
Holy cow. Yeah.
But you look at kind of the change of where we've, you know, where we've come from, what we're going to now. But moving through, you know, growing up in this company and actually working the jobs in the shop, understanding how we build parts and pieces or equipment and, you know, learning all parts of the business.
I mean, that's what makes it really unique, you know, is you're not just starting out, you know, the man, you know, you were able to work your way up through the business. So you've seen all sides of it, you know, from all the way down to pushing the broom, you know, so it's like you've been able to see it and live it and kind of go from there, you know. So like I said, it's crazy to think, you know, 15 people and you look around now and there's a lot more floor space to sweep up.
There is. Yeah. Yeah. We're up to 90,000 right now, which is awesome. Cool.
It is. It's very cool. Very cool to see you keep, you know, investing back into the company. You know, we've done well, and you can tell, like I said, you built like our last add-on. I think it finished up last summer, and I think that was a little over 30,000 square foot where you're able to move our production over to a new facility, still on the same grounds. But you can tell, you know, it sped up production. You know, it gave all our welders a little more space, spots to work, you know, and so it's like, you can see that reflect in how things are getting turned out. You know, these guys have a little more space and everything like that. And we're still adding guys, adding equipment. You know, it's like this place just continues to grow. And I think it's amazing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, Morgan and I, my wife, we talk about like the growth of the company and how it's changed. And even, you know, my dad's been gone more than 5 years now. He retired. So basically moving on from college to here is went to work for my grandparents and my dad and trying to make my path. And got my first official job here was purchasing. After college, you know, like I was like, I'm a purchasing agent making no money, which is that's how my grandparents were. It's hardcore, you know. You're gonna grind it out, prove yourself. Turned into vice president 18 months later, which was awesome. I just put my head down and kept going.
Yeah.
And then they decided to retire, and when that moment came, they got my dad and I together and said, "Hey, we're gonna retire. You're gonna buy us out."
Yeah.
And we're like, "Oh." Okay. So like, you know, family deal. And they're like, no, you're going to go give us the money. And so he and I went to a bank and had a pitch and said, hey, we need a lot of money to buy this thing. And we have nothing in our name right now. And they gave it to us. And the rest is history. We've been head down, rocking and rolling ever since. And then a little over 5 years ago, he decided that he was kind of ready to do something different.
Yeah.
And I endorsed that. I was like, dude, you've worked your whole life at this place. Like it's time to go have some fun and do your thing. And it's exciting. And so there's another challenge. So we bought him out. He was able to retire, which is a new challenge for Morgan and I, because it's like, where do we go from here? What do we do? And then that's where all this change and evolving into multiple companies. And, you know, it's not just the old Chandler equipment with the Agri / vacuum equipment industry. It's now automotive. It's accessories. It's all these other things.
Is that something you knew going into it? You know, when you were like starting to think about like, where are we going to take this thing? How are we going to branch out? What else can we do with this facility? Was automotive, you know, like something that was like, I want to be involved in that. You know, we've got the tools for that.
I've always loved automotive personally. I've always been a car nut. Actually, I love a lot of things, but cars are one of my, like, you know, top priorities, and it's more of an understanding, and I'm always great at soaking in information, and I retain it a lot, so it's like, hey, that's that car. I would see that drive by. I was like, oh, that's a 911 Turbo GT. Yeah. Oh, you know, people are like, how do you? I was like, well, I pick it up, or, hey, that's the latest Toyota, or that's the latest. I mean, I'm a Land Rover fan. Yeah. So it's like, hey, I've owned quite a few Land Rovers in my time. And, it's kind of cool to know all the ins and outs
those are very utilitarian vehicles too. You know, it's like the Land Rover, you know, is the same, you know, it's very utilitarian, you know, you can add accessories to it and stuff like that, you know? And so they're able to be dressed up as high as you want to take them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Chris, as far as cars, where do you feel like that passion really came from originally?
Man, so I believe in, what's funny is my wife is the same way. We believe that a car is a part of your personality. So it's an extension of you somehow, some way. So like when we have friends or we talk about what cars people drive, and it, because we have conversations about it, like, oh, did you see that latest so-and-so, you know, this that our friend has, and that's awesome. I love that. And or, hey, if they did that to it, it would be over the top. Like, so it's really, really my first jump into it was I had an Avalanche when they first came out.
Yeah.
So what's funny is I had an Avalanche and an FJ Cruiser. These two cars kind of moved me into like where I'm going with this. So Avalanche was kind of bare bones. It needed steps and a grill and brush guard and all that, you know, all the fun stuff. And I was just like, how does this become unique? Because there's all these other vehicles that look identical to it.
Right.
And
oh yeah.
Morgan's always like, well, I can't tell if that's you or somebody else. And so we're like, well, we'll fix that.
Yeah.
That way, you know, it's yours. And so that's extension of your personality. So it really started there. When I got that FJ Cruiser, it was like, hey, we need bigger tires.
Right.
Like it's got to be, it's got to look beefy. And then it's like a head turner because no one's ever seen one. It's like, what was that? You know, and I'm like, that's cool because it's just kind of like street cred.
Yeah.
Oh, we do that, you know, like the trucks that you build now, you know, the Tundra, the Tacoma, you know, both very unique. You know, you really go all out with your designs and stuff like that. And I mean, driving these things across the country, man, I just watch that thing break people's necks all day long. You know, people always have to do a double take at it and stuff like that, you know. So the way you dress them up, you know, you've certainly got an eye for it, you know. So it's certainly cool to always see what you come up with, what y'all do, what y'all build, you know.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because, you know, you talking about how cars, you know, you can kind of really tell about someone's personality. Like, you know, I know we were sitting out in the parking lot one day and Grant, our marketing manager, and I, and I think Mo may have been there too. We were talking about how, you know, it can even lead into like the way you dress. You know, it's like,
sure,
you know, obviously you probably wouldn't want to, you know, come out of a, I don't know, like a GTI with cowboy boots on, you know, it may feel kind of weird. So
probably so.
Yeah. So probably it's so. Just, yeah, it, that's something that I've always kind of felt a lot myself. You know, you can really tell a lot about a person if they're driving a car that they actually want to drive, you know, kind of deal. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know the rules. It's like life's too short to drive boring cars, man. You better get what you want, man.
100%. Right. I'm all in for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's absolutely. It's like, days are numbered, man. Drive something awesome, something you're proud of, something you love, invest, give back to it, you know.
Take care of it. Like, that's the thing about cars is, like, I see people who have an awesome car and you open up the doors and stuff falls out. You're like, hey,
come on.
That's a vehicle that needs to be taken care of. Please do it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And coincidentally, I've also owned an Avalanche and now own a FJ Cruiser. So that's funny that
high five to that.
That may be the path.
Yeah.
It could be. Like, could be.
We got some good ones Avalanche. You could roll through next. That's,
Too funny. Too funny. Well, we know that you've had the chance to drive some pretty special cars. We know you were able to drive some Ferraris in Italy and stuff like that. Was that just the best thing ever? I mean, the stuff I saw looked amazing. The car sounded amazing.
I mean, dream scenario. So the other part of our company, we have Italian vendors. Mm-hmm. One of those vendors is in Parma, Italy, which is down the street from Maranello, where the Ferrari factory is. So we were just like, hey, we're F1 fans, you know, let's talk about Ferrari in our conversations. And then the vendor was like, hey, how about I take you to Ferrari? And I was like, oh, really? He's like, oh, yeah, we're going to take you there. And then I was like, is there a chance we could drive one? He goes, done. So we show up, the whole day plan. We did the museum, checked out the factory, the whole, like, the town. It was just such a cool experience. And then at the end, there are basically Ferraris for us to pick to drive in the streets.
Yeah.
We have a guy with us, you know, riding, but it's just you. And he's just like coaching you the whole way. And you're in the streets going as fast as you want to go, basically.
Yeah.
And it's just so much fun.
Well, that must've been super cool to be able to do. I was recently in La Jolla and there was a Lamborghini dealership there. And I was like, casual me, small town kid. I'm like, well, I'm gonna walk in there and peep these things like a car show. Absolutely not. Doors locked. So it's best that you have the ends to get you where you landed. Cause my goodness, man, like I said, I was just trying to walk through and the guys just looked at me at the door like they knew better. They knew this guy is not serious about getting a Lamborghini
today. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's funny. Definitely cool. So what other things do you enjoy other than, you know, cars, stuff like that? You know, I know you know, you love to be outside golfing and everything. What else is in your passions?
Yeah, so huge family guy. Spend all my time with family. They're everything to me. I mean, my wife and three kids. I'm 100% invested in them every day. They're amazing people. We like to do stuff together. We like to go on trips. We do travel a lot. Have some cool trips coming up.
Yeah,
and then love to golf.
Yeah.
I love things that are challenging. I love to coach basketball. I grew up playing competitive basketball, so I'm coaching my son's team now. I've coached my daughter's volleyball, which I know nothing about, but I love teaching kids. I love being around them and interacting and saying, like, how do I make you better? How do I help you understand who you are and who you want to be and then help you get there? Like, that's important to me. And then, the coaching basketball part's fun because it's a bunch of 8-year-old boys running around. It's kind of like herding cats, but it's just a blast and it's exhausting and challenging. And it's so fulfilling just to see that one of them have, like, hey, I made a shot.
Yeah.
Like, We scrimmage. Yeah. I made a shot. I'm like, yes, sir, you did. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. Let's keep going.
Let's have fun. How that resonates with the kids. You know, it's like they're so appreciative of the little things, you know, like you said, just the smallest thing of just making one shot, you know, and they're super appreciative. They thank you for their you coaching them up and stuff like that. Yeah. And they, you know, they give it back to you, you know, so I'm sure it's very rewarding, you know, to do stuff like that.
Oh, I eat it up. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, other than in coaching, you know, I just saw a post yesterday where you were at the Don Tyson School of Innovation talking to kids, you know, and I've seen them running around up here at the facility before. So how did you even get involved in that? You know, and personally, I love to see you like giving back to the community, going to schools, bringing these kids, all these programs, you know, that we see come through here. What sort of set that off?
Yeah. So Morgan and I are diehard Arkansas people. We are from here. What's funny is, you know, the property that we're on right now, this was my home growing up. So it's like, I feel like I owe it to the community to grow the community, being Springdale native and her also. So it's like, we're here to build Northwest Arkansas. We have it awesome here. We don't understand that yet. I think we have a lot of people that move in here and they stay and they're like, oh, where are you from? I'm like, I'm from Springdale.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, Springdale. I'm like, I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud to be from here. Springdale has always been known as more of a work town. You have Tyson Foods and a lot of different types of jobs, but that's what our company does too. So we're here supplying jobs to the community and trying to grow it. And it's like, in a lot of ways, how do you build off that? Well, now it's the next generation trying to invest in them. So being involved in Springdale Schools has been awesome for me. I love it. I'm on an advisory board for workforce. So how do we build kids up to not necessarily go to college, but to understand what their potential is? Mm-hmm. And that's what we focus on. It's like, you could be an electrician. You could be a plumber. You could be a welder. You can be an engineer. You can do all these things and maybe not go to college.
Yeah.
And we talk about, like, I mean, I take our guys over there sometimes and say, hey, let's go talk to these kids and make them understand that a college path for a career is not always for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's
right.
I went to college and I think I learned a lot from it. But at the same time, could I have learned a lot more from experience?
Oh.
Probably so. And that's where it's like, where do you tell these kids to go? Because they don't know. They're learning just like when we were there. You know, we didn't know when we were there. Like, right. Oh, we're listening to mentors or an advisor saying, hey, you should go do this. This is a great career path. Yeah. But is that for you?
Right.
Like, try to make them understand that. So,
well, it's very cool to like open people's eyes to like what you said, that non-traditional path, you know, to a good job. You know, all the trades you touched on, those are great jobs. You know, being a welder, you know, that's a good job, you know. And all these things, like you're saying, you know, school's not for everybody. Some people can't wait to get out of that thing. But the sad reality is you're going to have to work at the end of the day, you know. So if you can put your energy, effort into a trade, something that gets more of your attention, something you're more passionate about doing, you know, like all for that. And I think people like y'all opening their eyes to stuff like that, the opportunities and stuff, is just amazing.
For sure. I mean, it's fulfilling for us to go out and say, like, hey, guys, these are the lessons we've learned. And pretty much the hard way. Morgan and I we're grinders. So we sit in here and just, we figure it out. If something doesn't work, we change it.
Yeah.
And we just keep changing until we find the recipe that works. And then we go, hey, that worked. And then now we're finding out that, hey, it worked for that brand or that company that we have, but it doesn't work for all of them. So it's like, it kind of moves and shakes and you kind of figure that out as you go. And instead of it just, there's no magic recipe in a book that you open up and go, hey, this is what works. It's like, no, figure it out.
And like you said, you know, like a lot of those things are different, you know, the brands are different here, you know, so like what works for, you know, our vacuum side of things, you know, may not work for our Toyota side of things, you know, it's just a different customer and stuff like that. And so I'm sure a lot of it is grinding, you know, and figuring out, you know, what sticks, you know, and stuff like that. So hats off to y'all, you know, I always see y'all running around, always working. So keep doing what y'all are doing, man. Appreciative of it.
We love it. That's the drive. We love to keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, it definitely seems like y'all are an awesome team, you know, and kind of like you were saying about, you know, family time, like it definitely seems to show in that as well. Like I saw y'all were at, it was at Hawksbill Crag this past weekend, right?
We did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Made the hike. we're missing our middle daughter. She was with grandparents, so she was still with family. But we took our oldest and our youngest out there, and they trucked through it, head down the whole way. It was great. So cool. It's like a bucket list thing for Morgan and I to go out there and see that. Her family's been out there a few times, and she remembers going out there as a kid. So it's she was like, we need to go out there and check it out. And I was like, hey, the leaves are turning. Let's do it. It's great. I mean, I would tell you about her. She's my better half. She is amazing.
Dude, like every all day, of us probably in this just room.
Killer. I mean, you know, in shape, tries hard at everything.
Yeah.
Awesome. She sells real estate. And so she's killer. She's just.
Well, that's the thing is, like, I can tell that y'all are just very dedicated. You know, it'd be easy to rest on what you've built already, right? You know, you look around and you've got all these nice things. But instead, you know, you and Morgan, you know, like double down and triple down, and you'd like, you're not content with it, you know, and that's like a hustler's mentality, you know. It's like, that's fine, but what's next? You know, like, what are we going to do next? Let's keep this thing rolling, you know, don't let that thing just stop.
Yeah, that's who we are through and through. I mean, she motivates me every day to be that way. And that it's more, she's taught me so much about myself, more so like, hey, the minute you have it figured out is the minute it changes.
Yeah.
So if you don't keep rolling and keep pushing, then, you know, you get kind of lazy and complacent. And I'll say personally, I've gotten there.
Yeah.
And here recently, she's really motivated me to turn that around. And it's just really, I thank her so much for doing that. And
you
know, but that's just kind of who we've become. We weren't always that way. It's something that's kind of moved into this. And now it's like, you know, the sales team in general, the running joke from Ty is that, well, you know, I remember first starting here and Chris just gave me a hard time because I landed a huge deal and he was so happy and just kind of content. I'm just like, yeah, but what's next?
Yep.
Yeah.
What are you doing now?
Yeah.
I was like, let's celebrate it, but what are you doing now?
Yep.
And he was just like, oh, okay. I guess that's how it is. I was like, I'm going to teach you what it takes. Like you, not saying we don't celebrate. There are awesome things that we're doing, and we all enjoy it, but it's just like, if you kind of stay still, you're never climbing the ladder again. So
the journey's
the action.
Right. Right.
Well, it's the same, right? You know, anytime you can have a, you know, same as me, probably same as Jay, you know, as my wife's saying, makes me a better person inside and out, gotten to the point now where it's like, gosh, I'd hate to ever think about like life without her. Right. You know, I've become so dependent on her good attitude and stuff. Like you're saying, when I'm down or she's down, you know, it's like we lift each other up, and that way you're not just feeling like you're trucking through life alone, you know? And I think that's part of what makes, you know, a great partnership, you know, is not just the good days, you know, but being able to lift each other up on the bad days and stuff like that. So, that you got you a good one there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cause I mean, it's definitely it's so beneficial if you have a partner that constantly reminds you of why you're doing something, you know, because I'm really bad about getting complacent, like you said, and forgetting why I'm even doing something or why I even started. And I actually listened to a podcast here recently, and something that really resonated with me that a guy said is, when your why is strong enough, your how will reveal itself. You know, so, and it's
put that on the wall,
dude. I'm telling you, I put it on my computer, and it's like,
I love it.
It's such a good thing to remember, you know, and having a family member or a partner right there to remind you of that constantly is just so beneficial.
Yeah. Yeah. Something that we've talked about lately is, you know, talking about your purpose in life and what you're about, but more so something that I've kind of looked at internally is, you know, am I proud of myself? Mm-hmm. Like, step outside and say, am I doing all I can do?
Yeah.
And then if you're not, well, that's the things you work on.
Yeah.
You make a list and you go, hey, I got to go work on this. I got to do that. But then looking back and saying, hey, I'm proud that I did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of saying I'm making someone else proud, it's like, no, make yourself proud.
Yeah.
And then your family comes along with it. You're like, if I'm being a great example for everybody, I'm making myself proud first. Then they're looking at that going, well, I got to do my thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, great. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it's good. And it's always good, like I said, to be proud of some work you've accomplished, stuff like that, you know, is something that somebody should always be able to look back and do, you know. Like I said, you especially, I'm sure, you know, you probably got 50 irons in the fire, you know, probably some times where you forget to look back and, you know, acknowledge your accomplishment, you know, and stuff like that. So it's like, good on you. Like I said, good on your family. Like I said, I've seen them run around here a couple of times, and they're always great. All the kids just well behaved as can be, you know. And say Morgan's nothing but a ball of sunshine when she comes through. So always a pleasure.
Yep,
absolutely. No, and I was going to ask you earlier, and then we kind of got off track. But how, whenever you're talking about like the history of Chandler Equipment and how that all evolved, how did you meet Evan and kind of have that whole process start off?
That's a great story.
Yeah.
So we had started building toolboxes. So back when Chandler Equipment had nothing else, it was just working on vacuum equipment. We had some downturns. So we had booming business when the oil field was busy. We were cranking. We had 120 plus employees running two shifts, and it was busy, busy, busy. And all of a sudden, hey, energy market's a roller coaster ride. So get ready for the downs. Well, the downs came. I had to lay off 40 people. It broke my heart.
Yeah.
I was very affected by it. I said, never again. We're not going to do that again. So we figured out that, hey, we have the equipment to build toolboxes, mm-hmm. and toolboxes are on every single vacuum equipment truck in the nation.
Yeah.
So we're like, we should be doing this too.
Yeah.
So we figured out how to build toolboxes at this facility. Fast forward a couple years, Evan so happened to have a mutual contact with us, which was a salesperson at a metal company. And he was looking for a toolbox to go on a off-road rig he was building for SEMA. And then so this guy's like, hey, you should talk to Chandler Equipment. We brought Evan in. At the same time, Ty was getting hit up to, hey, can you guys build bumpers?
Yeah.
And so he and I were having conversations about, can we build bumpers? I was like, man, I don't know nothing about it. I know zero at this point. It's like, we can build a toolbox, but I don't know to bump. You know, we need a bumper guy.
Yeah.
So this contact kind of introduced us, and Evan came over for a meeting. We started talking about the project and all that. And then that fast forward to having conversations bigger. Basically, Ty and I went to SEMA. Mm-hmm. We're sitting at the Cromwell at a blackjack table, just kind of goofing around. And Evan walks up with his team. And of course, Ty is loud. So he's laughing or something. And Evan's like, oh, I pick him out, you know, out of the crowd. And
yeah.
So we kind of meet up with them, and I was like, hey, let's go to dinner tonight. So we took them to dinner and kind of got to know their team and all that. And then fast forward a couple more months, they come back here, and we were having discussions further about, you know, potentially having Evan build some bumpers for us and like our design, or actually having him consult. And
yeah,
and he was just like, well, you know, it'd be funny if you just bought my company. And I was like, okay. I was very serious with him. I was like, sure, let's talk more. So that meeting went on, and we talked. And then SEMA is always in November, April, in first part of April, we bought the company.
Yeah.
And his team came here. He's been here ever since. Love him. He's fantastic. He got awesome designs. He thinks differently. He's
very, very,
very progressive as far as like design and, how's it functional, but also awesome?
Yeah.
Like, how do we get there? You know, that's a big thing for him. And
we can tell it's function, you know, at the top for him. You know, he wants it to work, you know, as it's designed to, you know, versus just putting out a nice product. You know, everything that he's ever put together, you know, works as well as it looks, you know. So Evan, you know, he's very creative, and you can just tell he's got that brain where he can just put shapes together, and all of a sudden a sweet bumper's spit out the other end.
Yeah.
Well, and one thing I love about Evan too, that's, you know, real cool, because generally, you know, when you'll talk to an engineer and you'll ask them about a product or can this be done, you know, generally they're going to just say nope and just be done with it.
Yeah.
Evan, it's funny, like, because of course I'm sure Mo and I give him crazy ideas all the time, and he never says, no, it's not possible. He just, you know, you can tell him already, you know, he's working in his brain. How can I work this out? How can I make this happen? And most people you work with, you know, won't be like that. And it's cool to see someone that's willing to always try something new.
No doubt. No, he's fantastic with it. He really thinks about it hard. I mean, it's kind of like our hybrid design.
Yeah.
It's like no one else really does that. Really, you know, you're using lightweight aluminum. It's still super strong. We have the steel pieces where we need them for the strength, and it all works together, and it's lightweight and it looks awesome.
Oh, and that
functions
that,
great.
You know, when that first came out, you know, I was just remember my head exploding, you know, being able to still have a solid winch cradle, still do solid recoveries, you know, but this bumper, you know, our heaviest ones weighing 85 pounds, you know, and the bumper I had, I was running a center cut style bumper, full piece, you know, one piece steel bumper. And I probably added 12, 15 pounds going to a full replacement because of the hybrid design. You know, it's like the steel winch cradle didn't weigh much, you know, and then that aluminum shell, like I said, certainly strong enough for what we do and everything like that. And I mean, dang, it looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does.
It's been great.
Yeah. Yeah. Where do you see Backwoods going from here now?
Oh, big things.
Oh, I love that.
Yep. Always big things.
I love that.
So we're in the middle of making some changes.
Mm-hmm.
So of course we posted that we've acquired Rome Built.
Oh yeah.
Rome Built's gonna be the van brand. So Sprinter van specific to begin with. So all the things that Backwoods was making before will move over to the Rome Built brand, which is kind of Ty's baby. We'll leave him over there.
Oh, yeah.
He's a van guy. So
it's his people.
What has Backwoods become? Well, Backwoods is going to be the Toyota brand.
Yeah. We're going to
focus
that.
On Tacoma, Tundra, 4Runner, and we got the new 4Runner coming up.
Come on with
and
it.
And Land Cruiser.
Ooh.
And that's, I bought one.
That's exciting.
I'm picking it up tomorrow.
Holy
so
cow.
So super excited with that.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Like I said, just seeing what our guys were able to do with the third gen Tundra, you know, it's like with the vehicles you just listed, you know, the new sixth gen, the fourth gen Tacoma and stuff coming out. It's like, I think we're going to be able to knock it out of the park, stay true to ourselves, you know, our hybrid design and keep, you know, delivering great products, you know. So congratulations on the truck. I'm also probably as stoked as you are, though.
Sitting
I
mean, absolutely.
I'm like, you know, new cars are, I love them. Just, it's like, hey, what can we do with this?
Yeah.
Like I've already sketched out some stuff and like, hey, we got to do this to it. And it's got to look like that. And like all these things that just, my brain starts spinning. And
well, I mean, in the short time I've known you, I've heard you talk about a few vehicles and stuff like that. What would be your top five vehicles that you've ever had?
Oh, that's a great question. So Morgan and I wrote down every single car that we've ever owned the other night just to have it. 46 of them.
Ooh.
We've owned 46. Now, some of those are business related.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like what we've done here at Backwoods or with Chandler Equipment, et cetera, like building out trucks and SUVs. But a lot of these, like we have some favorites. So here's my list.
Hit me with them.
Mercedes G-Class. So G550.
I love it.
It was great. I had a Mercedes CLS 63 AMG, and that was four-door car, super fast, just so much fun to drive.
I was going to say the fastest grocery getter you can get.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, it would go. Range Rover Supercharged.
Yeah.
That was a favorite at the time when it was out. The Backwoods Tundra.
Absolutely.
That
and
truck.
I love it. I drove it for a long time. I love it.
Yeah.
I hate that it's not in my garage every night, but I'm happy that it's here.
Yeah.
I'm happy that we're using it as a show truck and we get to show off what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's so cool. And then the last one is Morgan's Escalade.
Yeah.
So she has a new Escalade.
Yeah.
It is super cruise, you know, just driving down the road, does its thing. So cool. It's smooth. It's just polished. It's a great, great vehicle.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I got to side with you on the Tundra for sure. I mean, I've driven a number of your vehicles, you know, the fleet. And out of all the vehicles I've driven, you know, not that the Transit drives terrible or the Sprinters drive terrible, but that Tundra just drives so, so nice. You know, it's like,
great.
It's just like I was telling, you know, like a leather couch riding down the road, man, and at 70 miles an hour.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm hoping my sixth vehicle on this list is the Land Cruiser.
Come on
the new
with
one. If we get it right, I feel like it's going to be a winner.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I've just briefly rode in them, you know, and they seem like they drive super nice and everything like that. But, I mean, the new power plants are putting these Toyotas, you know, it's just different being able to actually have that get up and go. It seemed like that was the thing Toyota was lacking on a lot of their trucks and SUVs, you know, and then new Tundra addressed it, you know, and then the LC250, they all come with the I-4, so you know that it's going to have power there too.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm I'm insanely excited about that Land Cruiser. I mean, seriously, since they came out, I've been looking at my finances like, man, how can I afford one of these? So now I get to look at one every day. I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, I get to drive it too.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's a sweet thing, you know. The other number of your cars tells me that you've got a thing for speed, you know, when you're just like G-Class.
Yeah.
I can hear that thing every time you start it to leave and the cold start on it. It's amazing. You know, my office is right above where you park. Don't change a thing. Do you ride around with the tailpipes open all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Even my truck now has that option too. And I'm like, I want it as loud as I can get it. I want to hear the noise when I'm driving.
Oh, and it's the same. You know, it has a rumble to it, but like I said, the
G-Class though has a different sound. Yeah. That's what sold me on it originally. I was like, ooh, that sounds great.
Well, and it's funny because I hear it start up all the time when you drive it. And you know, I know those G-Classes are very insulated. You can't hear a lot out of them.
Right.
And it's funny, like I've had that thought of, I wonder if Chris knows how good his G-Wagon sounds, you know, because it just sounds so good.
I wish I was on the backside of that hearing it. That's the thing.
No, she's got a rumble. Well, now we've discussed your favorites. We're going to do a fun little segment. We're going to do a start one, cut one, bench one.
Okay.
I know these three vehicles, they didn't make your list. They were probably 6, 7, 8. But start one, cut one, bench one. We're going to go with the Cybertruck, the Grenadier, or a 95 Wrangler four-cylinder with a top speed of 55. Where do you land? How do you rank those?
So I'm not a Cybertruck fan, so it's a cut.
Okay.
That's just one of those things. I love a gasoline or diesel engine.
Yeah.
Just one of those things. Like, we're not ready for electric yet.
No.
We think we are. We're not ready.
That's what I think. I think the want to is there. I just don't know if the technology is caught up to the want yet.
Yeah.
You know, with being able to.
I agree. When you go to a Tesla charging station and it's running off a diesel generator, I got a problem with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, what are we really doing here, guys?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
Grenadier is a start. So I'm an old school Land Rover fan.
Yeah.
And they tried to copy it. Now, of these three, that's my start because
it's the one.
Goes back to the old Defender look.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I like it. Now, that's a huge movement. How successful will it be? We'll see. It's still fresh and new. So it's.
Well, that's the thing, you know, is there still hasn't, you know, they're still bringing them into the States and stuff like that. I want to say I heard like 15,000 have been brought in right now and maybe, you know, another 20,000 by year's end, you know, is what I was hearing, you know. So I know they're still, you know, starting to be around and stuff like that. And you certainly see them more. But same as you, you know, I wonder how the growth looks for that, what that looks like long term, you know, if it's a platform people continue to build on or if they're just building on it right now because it's the new hotness, right? You know, it's like if they're out, people can get them now. And so you're starting to see a lot of the accessories come out for them.
Right. And I'm going to bench that Wrangler, even though that Wrangler, you know, she can get you places.
Well, of course.
But highway driving's not for her. She's an off-roader, and that's where she stays.
You got to be able to at least get up to the speed limit, you know, 55, man, that barely going to make it most places anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Now, and I guess, you know, really probably our last question that, you know, I would think that we would have is, do you and Morgan really, because it'd probably be good for both of y'all to go do together. Do y'all have a dream like adventure or expedition or anything like that y'all really want to go do?
I mean, for me, it's like seeing all the national parks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's something that we kind of take for granted that we have those in the United States and we're like, oh, let's go out of the country. I'm bad about that too. It's like, I need to refocus and say, hey, like, hey, let's check out the national parks. They're right here in our backyard.
Dude, how blessed are we to like have stuff like that, you know, to have a national park that we can go to, you know, and, you know, mine would be same as you, you know, it's like as quick as I can check them off, you know, or, are very cool and they're also unique, so different, you know. But do you have one on your list that's tops on that where you're like, oh, I got to get to Yosemite or wherever it may be?
I mean, everybody talks about Yellowstone. My dad's been there a ton, and he just like, you have to go.
Yeah,
like he's just adamant about it. I was like, okay, well then maybe that's one I'm waiting to go check out.
Here's a pro tip: if you're camping close to the park, Joe can testify to this. I had everybody that was camping with us wake up at about 4:35 in the morning. His wife not impressed. My wife definitely not impressed. And I'm gonna get us to Yellowstone. We're gonna avoid the line. You know, if anything, we'll be, you know, maybe first five cars. I pull us through the Yellowstone gate at probably 5:30 in the morning. Not a soul in sight, you know, and I mean, got us there way too early. And
yeah,
I definitely had to hear about that. You know, the old, think we need to get up early? Think we need to get up early to get there? And I was just kind of joking. So if you ever do go there, you can wake up at a normal time.
Yeah.
Okay. Gates aren't as long as what it looks like on the internet.
Yeah. Okay. But you can afford or avoid the fee if you get there before, before
everybody.
So
okay.
That's what we did.
Yeah. It was too funny. That one's definitely beautiful. Like I said, Jo and I went and did that one fall, and, it's just so big out there. You know, if y'all ever make it out there, it's a beautiful area. You, the family would have the best time. Like I said, it's just pretty, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think just appreciating what we have in this country is so important.
Yeah.
Well, I used to be very similar to that. You know, the wife and I used to do the same. We would take vacations out of country, you know, and stuff like that. And then, you know, you start getting like reeled back in and you're like, man, there's a lot of stuff in the United States that I haven't seen, but yet here I am, you know, spending X amount to go out of country and stuff like that. When it's like, the reality is I can probably find it here. And if it's something that I haven't ever seen or been to, you know, it's got that draw to it as well. So, I'm same as you. Obviously a lot of that started when, around 2020, you know, Coco years. So it's like, you know, to be able to stay around and still go to these national parks and be able to be, you know, dispersed and away from everybody, you know, is I think when a lot of this stuff started popping off and, we really started making an effort to go to a lot more as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we need to get y'all out, even just for a Ozarks Camp Wheeling Weekend. That'd be fun. Yeah. Yeah.
We've got some places that are close to where you went. You know, that Hawksbill Crag, if mm-hmm. I'd known, there's a place you could drive your truck right down to the headwaters of the Buffalo, and you could sit right there. I don't know if there's any water in any of the rivers right now, but you could at least see where it runs.
Yeah, Buffalo is dry.
Yeah.
We drove through there. We stopped. We're like, wow, that's not normal.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. You know, we're hurting for it. You know, hopefully the fall rains come. You know, the temperatures are starting to get right, you know, but hopefully they'll fill back up. And then, yeah, same. If you're ever free, y'all ever have a weekend, want to get out, we'd obviously love to camp with y'all and spend some time with y'all like that, too. You know. Well, I think that pretty much sums us up, man. Chris, we want to thank you for coming down here, taking time out of your busy day, sit here and talk with us, man. We really do appreciate it. Give us insight on the company. Give us insight where Backwoods is going and stuff like that. And really, it's just cool learning about you, you know, at the end of the day. You know, a lot of stuff I didn't know, you know, and stuff like that. Very cool to hear how Morgan plays a big role in how you operate, you know. So we appreciate you, honestly.
Yeah. I think that's most people don't understand that we're a team. And
yeah.
I may be here a lot, but we make decisions together always, and that's kind of how we roll.
Yeah.
And
like I said, keep doing what you're doing. I'm thankful to be on this side of it. Love to see and hear where Backwoods is going. You know, I think we've got some very cool things that are going to happen. So excited. Like I said, with the Tacoma, the LC250, the 4Runner, all these vehicles starting to come out, I think good things are going to come from us.
No, I'm excited.
Yeah.
100% all in.
Yeah.
Same. And I can definitely see it. But yeah, man, we appreciate you. We appreciate all y'all listening. Like, subscribe, man. Always appreciated.
Yeah. Check us out at backwoodsadventuremods.com. Peace.
On the internet. Peace.